Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. You got Dev, Q, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the hot pop.
All right, good evening, NBA fans, and welcome to a special NBA Finals edition of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the War Room Roundtable tonight is Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and our main man, Brandon on Sports, War Room Sports, and TalkSportsPhilly.com writer Brandon Pemberton. The NBA Finals tip-off in about an hour, folks, and we're going to take you right up the tip-off with our analysis and predictions for the series. Like every week, we want to hear from you guys, so log into our chat room, our Facebook and Twitter pages, and when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, call up and chime in. That number is 323-410-0012. Before we get started, we just want to remind you guys to check out some of our favorite shows. Tomorrow at 6 p.m., check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line right here on Blog Talk Radio. On Thursday at 8 p.m., tune in to VoltaRadio.com and check out the Imaginary Players. Every weekday, while you're working, tune in to Buzz on Broad at 1 p.m., also right here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, catch us on our regular night and time, Thursdays at 6 o'clock. We'll be getting you caught up on all the hot stories in sports. If you're on an Android or iPhone, don't forget to download our free War Room Sports mobile app in the Apple App Store, the Android market, and stay on top of everything happening at War Room Sports. But right now, fellas, let's jump right into these NBA Finals. What's going on tonight, y'all?
Ain't nothing excited.
All right,
yes, sir.
Ready to do this. All right, well, yes, it's sir. Basketball time. All right, before we get started on the actual series, let's go down memory lane a little bit, man. Let's talk about what happened back in 2006 between these two teams. Jimmy, you got like you can start us off like. You know what happened in 2006. Of course, the Mavs jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and then Dwayne Wade went crazy, and they won four straight to take the title. Why do you think it went down that way back then?
Yo, I remember that vividly because, you know, like right after that series, I was calling you, telling you about how Dirk was a female dog because, you know, he sold the farm. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why when you think back in terms of the offense they were running. The coach, because I believe that was Avery Johnson's first year as the coach, and he, boom, ended up right in the finals. So, you know, he didn't have a lot of experience, playoff experience, so to speak. So there were a lot of different things going on. But I know the main reason why they lost that way is because D. Wade was just – he just went to another level. Like, that's when he became D. Wade. Like, he was balling out of control. Yo, I've never seen nothing like that. And I watched MJ in the finals, Magic in the finals. D. Wade went crazy.
Yeah, before that, he was just somebody else's stolen nickname, The Flash.
Yo, but after that series, because he became D-Wade.
Yeah, yes, he did.
Brandon, what do you remember about that series, man?
I remember Dallas going up 2-0 and Dirk laying down like a mutt. That's what I remember. And I remember D-Wade going to the hole and, you know, every time he got touched, I remember the refs blowing a damn whistle like it got out of hand. But, I mean,
that's a good point.
Yeah, the foul calls got ridiculous in the last four games. But, hey, he was taking it to the hole and, you know, he was playing hard. And Dallas was a soft team back then. So, you know.
Even under Avery, that was like the first year where they had, you know, any type of commitment to playing any type of defense. You know, it wasn't the exact Dallas team that we had seen in the years before, but I don't think that one year, you know, gave them enough tenacity on the defensive end to, I mean, much props to D-Wade, though. I mean, you just got to go back to that He played out of his mind. What's he averaged, like 32 in that series?
Yo, something crazy. But Dev, Brandon brought up a great point. That, I did remember that in the series how, yo, D-Wade got every call known to man, and there was, it was like a conspiracy behind, like, you know, Mark Cuban and how he treats the officials in the league, so to speak. But if you notice, dude has been like MIA this entire playoff run.
Mark Cuban.
You ain't seen Mark Cuban, like, yo, he ain't been to no press conferences, no interviews, no nothing. Like,
he's not trying to call the team.
Exactly. Whether it's true or not, that he believes it.
I remember that series, and like y'all, I remember D Wade going unconscious, and it was the first time where I had seen anybody in the league at the perimeter spot, the two or the three, come anywhere close to Kobe's dominance on the wing. And I was just like, oh, boy, here come another one. And that was kind of his coming out party. And I'll definitely agree with Jimmy's position about, you know, Dirk kind of laid down. And he reminds me of that kid that, you know, he didn't have an opportunity to play in the hood and get toughened up a little bit like Jimmer Fredette playing in jail. He didn't have a positive image T-shirt, at least not one of the urn.
No total response to Sunny Hill.
Yeah, no total response. So, you know, now it looks like he done hung out with the Jet a little bit, and we'll see. Go ahead, Def.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, we all remember the same things. But like Jimmy said, Brandon brought up that the referees part in the whole thing.
Hold up. To all you Shaq fans and Shaq food lovers and Twism dudes, and yo, Shaq ain't had nothing to do with what D Wade did in that finals.
Come on, cuz. I mean, he wasn't
points.
Shaq, but.
He averaged a paltry 12 points.
but come on, cuz. But him just being there, like, I'm telling you, Shaq was on the. He's not the Shaq from L.A. that was dominating the league.
What you're telling me is that Shaq played that Kendrick Perkins role. All right, I see.
Remember, though, they had a pretty good squad.
He's a little better than Kendrick Perkins, though, that year.
Well, he's better than Kendrick Perkins by showing up and being Shaq. His name was Shaq, so it don't matter how good he played. He's better than Kendrick.
Yo, and the funny thing about them D-Wade calls, yo, if you watch dude's game, It's unorthodox, not Manu Ginobili unorthodox, but it's a little unorthodox, and he forces contact and foul, so it's like he's hard to officiate. Usually you hear that about a big man, but D-Wade causes fouls so frequently that I think the refs get a little confused, man.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to say Shaq wasn't a part of it, but they had a pretty good squad because if you remember in 2006, Miami had a bunch of, you know, veteran chip chasers on their team. Gary Payton, they had Antoine Walker. Wasn't James Posey on that team?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he definitely was.
They had a nice little squad because they had some people kind of on their last leg trying to follow Shaq around and see if he can get them a chip. And they didn't know that it was Young Flash that was going to carry him to that championship.
Yeah, and if you remember, like, in that season, Shaq didn't have a bad season. It's just that when the postseason came, D-Wade just went to a whole nother level. And, like, you know, Shaq was smart enough to know, like, yo, this young boy.
Yo, on the low, Jimmy is our resident Captain Saver Shaq. He'll always put his cape on. You know, even if he talk dirty about Shaq for a couple minutes, he's going to put that cape on.
All right, so look, there's a few guys now that are playing. If I'm not mistaken, it's just four that was playing in the 2006 finals that are playing now. And from my count, I have Dirk, Jason Terry, Dwayne Wade, and Haslam. Is there anybody else on the floor tonight that played back then?
No, it's only them four.
It's only those guys.
So those four players, if we're just looking at those four, like, what's the difference in some of these players now as compared to back then? I mean, the most glaring thing that anybody and everybody can point to is that it seems like Dirk is playing with a little more gumption at this point in time. But anything else that you guys notice about these four players?
I would say Dirk is the biggest. Obviously, he playing like he went to see the Wizard, and he got him some heart. Jason Terry. The funny thing about him is I haven't really seen his skill level or his athleticism fall off. He's been at the top of his game for probably about 7 years now, and he's still there. D Wade, Haslam's a bum. D Wade is D Wade. Come on, man, family, don't come on here. Listen, the Haslam, the Kendrick Perkins of the world, the Nazi Muhammad. Come on, man.
Haslam can't put Nazi Muhammad in the same category as Haslam. Nazi Muhammad hasn't won anything. Haslam's
Yo, Brad,
been a great
Austin,
role
you
player.
You got a disdain for role players. What's up with your disdain for all role players, cuz?
No, not at all. I love Kurt Thomas. Kurt Thomas is the ultimate role player, and that's my man.
And Haslam play the same role. Be the same exact player.
And they kind of spot
up. What different is he from Kurt Thomas?
12-15-foot baseline.
Yo,
J.
Cats are scared of Kurt. For whatever reason. He inspires that fear, and he go way harder to me. This is my opinion. Haslam's cornrows went out with AI's career. I mean, come on, man. I can't mess with your boy.
You just don't like him because he wears cornrows. But, yo, the boy does play a major part.
I'm not one to give him all the credit, but they did seem to gel a little better and become a better team when he came back.
Emotional
and finally started getting some minutes, but you know, like I said, I'm not one to give him that credit, but I guess he's one of those dudes. Like throughout the whole time that he was injured, you know, they were always claiming to be missing Udonis Haslam, and he was always still the team leader, even in the suit. You know, the same type of stuff that I don't dig about Kendrick Perkins. I can give Haslam a little bit of credit because with all the leadership stuff, at least Haslam got some kind of game. Kendrick Perkins is just a fraud to me, but I don't want to talk about that dude.
Yo, y'all hate the book. Yo, I just realized that, yo, Brad, like, hates most role players in the league, cuz.
No, man, it's because, listen, man, shout out to our co-host, brother. I'm going to say it on the air, and I ain't Richard Rodden, but, yo, what's the difference between Haslam and Walter Woods? In fact, I think Walter Woods is a better athlete than Udonis Haslam.
I mean, with all that being said, but all that might be true, fam, but, yo, you just hate on role players, cuz. You don't think they play.
Oh, I don't hate role players, man. I don't hate role players. Yo, Anthony Carter is my homie. I've been waving that banner for years, and
no,
y'all
I'm
poop
talk,
on me
I'm
every
talking
time
about,
I play.
I'm talking about good role players, though.
He's not good.
He came with your man Anthony Carter like you wasn't good.
Udonis Haslam.
I never thought he was, but. That's Brad.
He don't name drop Anthony Carter of all people. I like Anthony Carter. You and his mom, the only two that like him. Yo, give Haslam his credit, man. When they won the chip, he played a major part. Like, you know, it's the reason why him and D-Wade are the only two.
If y'all don't like Kendrick, y'all can't like Haslam, man. Come on, man.
I like Kendrick. I don't think they're the same.
Go ahead, Brad.
They both play similar roles. It's just. Haslam can hit a 12 to 15 foot jump shot. Kendrick Perkins on the right team is effective. With Boston, he's effective. On another team, OKC, they don't play the same style of defense or same style of play, so he's not effective on OKC. If Perkins never got traded, the Celtics would be the one playing in the finals. I believe that.
I don't think he has that kind of impact. I think Doc Rivers said the other day
they should have never traded him.
Yo, Doc got to give some kind of excuse for going out in the second round. I understand what everybody's saying because we have this conversation every week, but I understand what everybody's saying, but I can't give him that much credit. Like, they would have beaten the Heat. Even with Kendrick Perkins, they just weren't athletic enough to beat the Heat. So I don't really think they would still be playing. But – I don't know. To me, the dude, besides his teammates loving him, and, you know, he playing a little fake enforcer role, his game, to me, doesn't translate into extra wins. And like you said, you have to pair him on the right team. He was on a team with, you know, basically four All-Stars. So nobody's paying him any mind. So anything he does, you know, it might get blown up a little more because it seems
now,
like
B,
he's doing more than he's really capable
now,
of doing.
Now, B, I'm going to
take first year, the first year they beat the Lakers. The first year the Celtics beat the Lakers, did he or did he not stop Pau Gasol one-on-one the whole series?
No, he did.
Not,
he did. He pushed him around, and everybody said how strong Pau was because he was throwing him around.
All right, that's one.
But I said
that's
that before the series, so I can't give him his badge of honor because he pushed Pau Gasol around.
Okay, that's
I'm
one.
Not, I'm not in that 1% of the population that believes Pau is the best thing since sliced bread, so I don't know.
Against Orlando, did he not check Dwight Howard one-on-one by himself and take him out of that series?
No, he's
yes,
a, I mean, listen, Brent, I'm on your side in terms of him being a great defensive player.
I feel what you're saying. I acknowledge that he did give Howard some problems, but now I'm going to ask you, have you not seen a growth in Dwight Howard's game from when Perkins locked him up to today? Do you think that Perkins would do that now with Dwight Howard?
No, because Dwight Howard got moved.
He went to see the Wizard. Yeah, he went to see the Wizard
yeah,
down
Dwight,
in Houston.
Yeah, Dwight Howard. One offseason with Olajuwon make him look like a totally different player.
Yeah, I can't give Kendrick all those props. But look, we talking about Kendrick too much. He's not even playing. Real quick, y'all, let me take this quick break, tell everybody how they can get in touch with us, and then we're going to continue on with what's going on in the finals tonight. All right, everybody, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. Sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter right from our homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Join our Facebook page at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime, download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. You can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create one, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All Fair and Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. We got one of our star writers on the air with us tonight. That's Brandon Pemberton. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows, one of us might just call on you. So, Jimmy, let's talk about what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I got some questions. I got some questions for the.
All right.
Let me go around the table. First of all, shout out to all the role players out there. Anyway, my question to you guys is this: in terms of pressure, who has the most pressure right now to close this out and win this chip? Is it Dirk or LeBron? Let me start with you, Austin. Who do you think has more pressure to win this championship between Dirk and LeBron?
That's a great question because they both are under extreme scrutiny and pressure. Yeah, brother, you're good at asking questions. And I saw that you shouted out role players, big market Jimmy. He don't like you if you're a role player in a small market. But I'm gonna say LeBron, but it's because he constructed that pressure. All things being equal, it would be Dirk at this stage in his career. But because of the whole decision thing and all of the media hype around him super teaming and running to somebody else's house and putting on their clothes to try and win, you know, the pressure is on him. Where it should
I love all the subliminal shots you take in saying that. Yo, hey, Brandon, what's your opinion? Who do you think has more pressure at this point?
Similar to what he's saying, I think the more pressure is on LeBron because of the whole media thing and, you know, the whole circus the day after they signed and all that. But in my eyes, Dirk Nowitzki has maybe 2-3 years left in his career at a high level, and this might be his last chance to get to the finals because the way the team is constructed, you know, they're an older team. So, this might be his last shot of winning a title. You know,
absolutely.
Some players, some great players never even get to the finals, and, you know, this is second chance. So I believe the pressure is more on him, you know, from a pure basketball standpoint.
Got you. What you thinking, Dev?
Yeah, it's kind of similar with what both of the fellas said. If we were just talking from a pure basketball standpoint, it would have to go to Dirk because, in my opinion, I think this is his last chance. I didn't even think he would have a chance this year. So they were lucky enough and good enough to make it this year. So he got to handle business. If not, I think that's it. I think he's going out without one. On the other side, like everybody said, with the whole media circus and the whole circus surrounding the decision and all that kind of stuff, LeBron has an infinite amount of pressure on him. I mean, he's handled pressure in the past as far as coming out of high school, being so highly touted, and I think he has lived up to that hype. But now you got people like Pippen coming out saying that he may be the greatest player of all time, comparing him to Mike. I think the pressure, the artificial pressure, is building on him. And speaking of that,
yeah.
There is no way that LeBron will ever be Jordan. Call me when LeBron has 6 championships.
That's your only argument.
It's the only argument I need, Sean.
Yo, real quick though, I think that you guys pretty much have summed it up. There's pressure on both. It was from a pure basketball standpoint, just based upon their age and how the teams are constructed. It would be Dirk. But, you know, because of the decision and because I'm taking my talent to South Beach and, you know, I look at it like old school wrestling. It's like LeBron turned heel. It's like when Hulk Hogan joined NWO, so to speak. It's like he went from being the most loved dude to, like, the most hated dude to – but I guarantee you one thing, though. These are going to be some high-rated finals. The Heat bring a lot of attention, and people are excited about it. So – with that being said, they're excited for LeBron. So I think it's more pressure on LeBron, even though he's the younger ball player.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying there, I think it's more kind of like contrived pressure on LeBron, but the natural progression of, you know, just basketball years.
As basketball,
if they don't win today, they'll have chances in the next 3-4 years. Go ahead, B. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
As basketball purists, which I'm going to group us all into that, I think our general consensus is avoiding all the media. You know, all things being equal, the pressure really is on Dirk. But, you know, with LeBron wanting to be, you know, the first billionaire athlete and a brand and of himself, he's created the whirlwind or created the machine that now has the prisoner of the moment type of folks tuning in and putting that artificial pressure on him. You know, and that's a reality. Perception is reality. So the pressure is on LeBron. I would say it should be on Dirk. It should be on Dirk.
If you think about contrived pressure, you have a little bit on Dirk's side with his coach saying a couple of weeks ago he's the top 10 player of all time. But, Jim, what do you think about the Scottie Pippen comments about LeBron?
Yeah, I think I'm going to get to that one question. But I have a question for you guys based upon what you just said. And that is, like, who do you think it would be worse on if they lost? Because think about it, LeBron has protectionists that no matter what he does, he can do no wrong. And I don't see Dirk having that. So
I really don't.
So if they lose, like if LeBron loses, would it be harder on LeBron or if Dirk? You know what I mean? Like who would it be harder on in terms of taking a loss in his finals?
It depends on who you believe when they talk. Because Dirk, I don't know if he does it because, you know, you've been in the league long enough to know that this is what superstars, this is how you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be upset that you lost. So I don't know if Dirk really hates to lose or has he, you know, contrived that whole thing because of what a superstar is supposed to be. But he talks like if he doesn't get it this time, like like he's going to look at his
own. Yeah. Yo, Dirk, his whole aura has changed. I think a lot of that has to do with Tyson Chandler. I know, I like that because he's a role player. But, yo, his whole aura, even if you watch Dirk on a press conference, Dirk, like, be on his own thing where he takes the mic and this, yo, Dirk's whole, His whole demeanor has changed.
You don't like him either because Dallas is a small market. Don't get on here front.
I mean, first of all, I wouldn't consider Dallas a small market for one, but for two.
They're the same size as San Antonio.
Dallas?
Population-wise.
I wouldn't say Dallas is as small as a market as San Antonio.
Stop that. Please stop.
They got four major teams in the market, so.
Stop that, cuz. Right now, stop that. But anyway, my point is his whole demeanor has changed a lot. His whole demeanor has changed a lot since Tyson Chandler came aboard. I think that's one of the biggest signings in terms of all these signings because they play with an attitude. And not only that, they got Stojakovic for like, you know, a couple G's. They got him for next to nothing.
Well, they got Stojakovic for $7.99.
What'd you say, Brandon?
I thought he was done until he came there. You know, before he got
no doubt.
Dallas,
I did too.
He was done for. He got he don't have to do much. They put in that lineup, the small lineup with, you know, J.J. Barea running the point and Dirk at the five, and Stojakovic could stand out there and hit open shots.
Stojakovic get nothing but open looks, yo, and that's the thing that's fooling people because he hits those, which is what he's supposed to do. But on a team where you didn't have others to create for him, yeah, Stojakovic would be sitting in a rocking chair for real.
He looked like he was on his way out the league. But, yo,
that would have been his story even in his prime. That would have been his story. He wasn't much of a, you know, put the ball on the ground. I mean, he'll surprise you a few times, but he wasn't going to make a career out of that. So, yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, at his peak, he was pretty good. You know, one dribble pull up, or you know, off a pick, pump fake, take one dribble and shoot. But you know that part of his game been passed.
You're right. He could get to his spot, so
he could artificially create for himself.
Now he just catch and shoot. But real quick, if anybody wanna call in and weigh in on the NBA Finals, that number again is 323-410-0012. We had somebody on the line earlier. I think we lost him. But we were about to say
yeah, but that, just to bring it back to what you were saying in terms of the Pippen comments, I was getting ready to write a blog on that because I was very irritated by that because I know that a lot of people are prisoners of the moment, but for Scotty to say that. But then as I sat and thought about it, you know, Scotty knew what he was doing. Scotty is tired of people not giving him credit for those runs. So instead of, like, pumping himself up, he's just going to take shots at MJ every time he gets a chance to.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Kill and I were saying. We were thinking that Scotty may have had some kind of, you know, ulterior motive behind that. LeBron is often compared to Scotty. So maybe if you're saying that this guy that you set the mold for, if he's the greatest player of all time, that makes you look a little better. But, he backtracked on his comments the day after.
Yeah,
if anybody out there, y'all been living under a rock, what he said was Michael Jordan is probably the greatest scorer of all time, but LeBron James may be the greatest player of all time. But go ahead, Brandon. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Hey, and it's flat-out malarkey. Like, you played with this man. Like, how soon can you forget? And you played with this guy. Like, come on. Like, it's a flat outrage.
That's
like, I almost broke my radio.
That's why I thought he may have backtracked the next day because MJ might have texted him a photo of that dream team that Scotty wasn't really supposed to be on at that point in his career. That was dominating.
I'm telling you.
Come on.
Remember when they did the top 50 players in 96?
Yeah.
96.
Scotty Pippen
didn't
belong on that list.
Right. He didn't belong on the dream team in 92. He didn't belong top 50 in 1996. So you better,
and if you did the top 50 players all time right now, he would sniff 70, 75.
I wonder what Kill.
Yo, but here's the thing, though. And the funny thing is, I've been one that has defended Scotty through the years because people act like, you know, he wasn't a great ball player. And I think Scotty was a hell of a ball player. But with that being said, like, that was just, like, garbage. My thing is, let this man at least win one first. Like, you know, we all know LeBron has the potential, keyword being potential, to be the GOAT. Like, I've never seen anyone with this much physical talent, but it takes more than physical talent. Because here's the thing. What if he does win this chip? how do we know he's going to be as hungry to come back and do it again? Because to me, that's what
exactly.
like separates, you know, separates a great player from like a champion. When you have that hunger to come back on a year after year basis and try to win another one.
Yeah.
Well, that's what made Magic Magic. That's what made Jordan Jordan. Bird.
Exactly.
You know, they wasn't satisfied with winning one time. They wanted to kill you the next season and the next season.
And that's the crazy part about it. And that's like, and bringing it to another one, the comparison, like, well, Rick Carlisle saying Dirk was like top 10, that kind of irritated me as well as the Scottie Pippen comments. Because, you know, both of these comments to me were like, yo, stop living in a moment. For real? Like, and people comparing Dirk to Bird, that bothered me too.
And Jimmy, and just like Scotty and Mike, Carlisle played alongside Larry Bird.
Like, you know,
exactly.
Let me tell you something that I will never forget. I remember one time when the Celtics beat the Lakers, and I grew up a Lakers. I was a Magic Johnson stan. You couldn't tell me anything wrong about Magic. But I remember the Celtics beat the Lakers in the finals one year, and they're interviewing Larry Bird, and they ask him about, you know, winning this championship, and he was like, I'm just happy that Magic is in the other locker room upset right now. That comment right there, that's what separates Larry Bird from a lot of these other Caucasian players they compare him to. Yo, his mentality was, I'm trying to kill you.
Yo, I hate Larry Bird, but he's one of the top five most respected players in my book. Like, I have so much respect for that dude, and not to take it here, but I have to take it here. Yo, Larry Bird said in an interview, and these are his words, that if they put a white player on him to guard him, he would get offended and try and murder that. Why wouldn't you put the athlete on me? Why wouldn't you put the black dude on? I'm too good. Larry Bird says this. And now,
yo, that's what I'm saying. Like, people forget so fast. It's like, it's crazy. Like, the mentality of these players are totally different than these other. Like, Dirk is a hell of a player. He has all the skills in the world. But until this season, I've never seen that hunger. And it's sort of like what Dev said. I'm still trying to decipher whether it's legit or he's acting this way
contrived.
Because someone told him he's supposed
to. Larry Bird was great with no back. His evilness and his will let him put up over 25 a game after he should have been off the court because
he
wanted
been
to
in a
win.
Wheelchair.
Yo, he
off,
wanted
you
to
hit
beat
it,
you
so
bad.
You hit the nail on the head when you said respect because
yo.
You know, back in that day, Larry Bird wasn't liked by many. But, you know, you
he didn't
want to
be liked. He didn't
exactly.
want to be. He
and
wanted
he didn't
to
care
be
about that. He didn't care
respected.
About that.
He wanted.
You
yo,
saw. You saw.
He wanted to say,
game with a couple jabs and pull out his larynx.
He wanted what Mike had. He wanted what Kobe has. I'm your favorite player. That's all I care about. Matter of fact, I'm secretly your favorite player because really they hate me. That's Larry Bird, man.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't see – you see it in certain players. I mean, you see it in Kobe at times. And, I mean, even when AI played, he played with that kind of heart. But it's like I just have never seen that from a Dirk. And, you know, like I said, this season, in this playoffs, I've, like, noticed a change in Dirk. But like Dev said, is that for real?
Yo, it's the Luftwaffe's revenge, your Wilhelm.
Here?
You know what I mean? I don't know what he said right there, but yo, my point is like, how soon these jokers forget, man? Like, it's this whole prisoner of the moment thing, like, you know, Dirk to Bird and now look, yo, the thing about Mike had to earn that.
Yo,
before Mike started winning championships, as dominant as he was, what would they always say? Well, he can't win a championship.
I got a few bars on this Scottie Pippen thing, and then I got a few bars to Scottie Pippen. And so my bars on Scotty, yo, how much hatred, ill will, and jealousy do you harbor to your former teammate? I ain't even going to mention his name. You know who I'm talking about. How much hatred did you have to contrive that to even put that out there when we all know that you don't believe that? And then every host on the show, they might not tell you this, but they had this little list that they keep in their mind of dudes that they want to beat up. And Scottie Pippen, you're definitely on mine. So it's about who sees you first. Word up.
You're rumbling.
Yeah, I'm rumbling. Like,
but on another note.
See, but no, I'm
on another note.
Jim, I think Michael Jordan is the greatest player I've ever seen. But at the same time, I'm not one of those people who think, oh my God, anybody that you compare to Mike, that's blasphemous and this and that. I'm not on that, you know.
Especially after you saw his gear.
I don't think like that. But these comments still, they really, you know, took me aback a little bit.
And they brought me the wrong way because you know that I don't think. Go ahead.
All right, well, let's get to the series a little bit, though.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the series. All I'm going to say is my last note on this is, like, you know that I don't think that Mike is the GOAT. But with that being said, to me, there's only a handful of players that you could possibly make the argument of being better than Michael Jordan. And those would be the Larry Birds, the Magic Johnsons, the Kareems, the players of that ilk. And my thing is, LeBron hasn't reached that level yet. I think it's unfair to him, let alone, like, is it malarkey and blasphemous? It's like, it's unfair to LeBron, like, what kind of pressure are you putting on this dude? But getting to the series, though, let me ask you guys a question. I'm going to start with you, Brandon. What do you think the keys to winning the series is? And give me the key to each team.
The key for Miami, you know, Dwayne Wade's going to have to play better than he played against the Bulls. He averaged 18.8 a game in the series against the Bulls, shot barely close to 40%. And he's going to have to put up more points against Dallas, you know, in order for the Heat to win this series. Because Dallas, yeah, Miami plays great defense, but Dallas, they're going to be able to put up some points. And I want to see how Miami handles Dallas' small lineup when they go with J.J. Barrera, Jason Terry, Marion, Dirk Nowitzki, and Stojakovic out there when they play Dirk at the five. You know, they were saying that Spoelstra was thinking about playing LeBron on Barrera, you know, to keep him out of the lane because, you know, Barrera get in that lane and start dishing it out and kicking for them open threes. But for Dallas, Dirk Nowitzki, bottom line, he's going to have to step up. Dirk Nowitzki's going to have to play the same way he played against OKC. You know, it's time to step up in the finals. Don't go hide under the rug now. Like, you the best player on this team. Everybody want to compare you to Bird now because you had a good series in the conference finals. The Mavericks need Dirk to play well. And also the bench play of the Mavericks, their bench is better than Miami's bench. And, you know, they're really going to have to put up some points, you know, when the team's second units get out there.
Okay.
You know what,
now,
Jim?
What's that?
Let me make a quick point about what Brandon said, especially on the D-Wade front. If you notice, though, I don't even know if you can give all the credit to Bogans for the last series, but D-Wade is going against the same type of matchup this time.
Stevenson.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Do you think D-Wade is hurt? Because I mean, nothing has came out. But
yes, he's from Chicago. They don't bitch. bitch up here.
Get it. He might be hurt because yesterday I was watching TV and across the timeline, either that or I was on the internet, it said that he had a full practice, the day before the game, like he was banged up or something.
I think that's one of the media things, though, man. It's like they, you know, if somebody's struggling a little bit and they're a superstar player, the media is going to give you that kind of out.
He's so good, he must be hurt.
Exactly. And let's not act like these players don't, even if they're not complaining about it, they still play into it because D-Wade, though all week he said he wasn't hurt, every time he said he wasn't hurt, he still had that sad puppy look on the court. So he know they would still give him excuses. So I play into it too.
Every time I missed a shot, I was playing, I was hurt.
I don't know if he's hurt.
Well,
I mean, I hope I want everything to be, you know, fair and even.
Well, like another Chicago dude. Now, I know Chicago to be a city of tough ballers, but there is another Chicago dude that always looked for every instance to play up any inkling of an injury to his benefit. He played another sport, so we're not going to mention his name on the air, but y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all know.
You come up every show. But, I don't think the whole strategy of – maybe putting LeBron against J.J. Barea. I don't know if that's going to work like it did with D. Rose. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know if LeBron can guard him or not. J.J. can't be any better off the dribble than Derrick Rose. The difference is Derrick Rose was the guy that you needed to score. J.J. JJ's not just going to get locked up and throw up dumb shots. He's going to find somebody. So that's going to be the difference. They may not even – I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be as effective as Coach
Murray. This is why I love basketball, because before the season started, if you would have told me that J.J. Barea will be a key to the NBA Finals, I would have cut at you.
Dev, great point. And I'm going to say something else that I know that y'all brothers saw that maybe the fans didn't. Derrick Rose got in a lot of situations where they did not utilize the pick and roll. J.J. Barea is never, ever going to wave off the pick and roll. He's thankful when the pick gets there. And so that's going to open him up a lot of times where he couldn't get open one-on-one against LeBron. But he's not going to wave off the pick, whereas Derrick Rose waved that pick off, or they didn't even call a play or a set where a pick was coming. So they let him out there to go one-on-one.
Yo, another thing is, I was joking about that, but I'm serious. Like, and shout out to J.J. Barea, because I remember he couldn't shoot the outside shot. He has worked on his game, because now when they try to go under on the pick, he's knocking down the outside shot.
He's always had a jumper. If you're familiar with the Puerto Rican national team, him and Larry
I watched him play the Puerto Rican. He could not shoot the three, the NBA three. He could not shoot it.
He had a jumper, but he didn't have range on his jumper.
He didn't have range on his jumper.
Yeah. Now they try to go under on the picks, and this dude is like stepping back, hitting like the three, like it's nothing. Like, so he's working on the game,
then,
you know.
Back then he was still pushing the ball like he was 12.
Like, yeah, he was still shooting from
like,
the middle of his chest like he was a young boy. Like, he was in that total response.
I think you were about to ask me, Brother Blueprint.
What do you think the keys to winning the game for each side?
The keys for Miami obviously are going to be big games from both of these dudes, from LeBron and from D-Wade. I think Spoelstra is going to have to call a lot of pick and roll for them, you know, both LeBron setting picks for Wade, Wade setting picks for LeBron. Bosch is going to be a wash. Yeah, I made a rhyme. I'm nice. Bosch is going to be a wash because he's going to be caught with the German, and Bosch is a great player, in my opinion. I'll go out on the record. He's feminine, and he looks like an avatar, but he has put up 24-11 in this man's league, and so we're done. We're done with all of the throwing Bosch under the bus. He's nice. He ain't got nothing to deal with that German, man. So he's going to be a wash this series, my belief. Not only that, but the Mavs have a lot of players to throw at Chris Bosh versus these other dudes.
Maybe great in a present tense, not like an all-time.
No, not an all-time great.
I think Bosh is the best black European player.
Miami is going to have to get bench. Miami's going to have to get bench production, as Mr. Pemberton alluded to. They don't have a great bench, and they got to get bench production. And can y'all imagine? And yo, rest in peace to Mike Bibby, because that was my man. Yo, I really loved his game. But can y'all imagine him trying to cover Jason Kidd, then Jason Terry, then the Puerto Rican Bull? Yo, Barea is going to have to make him dance.
Well, because Thomas had a lot of burn.
Basically.
And he's too little to guard. He's too little to worry Jason Kidd.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Kidd is not going to use, like, because he doesn't have it anymore, like speed and athleticism.
He's just going to blow
you. He's going to hit him with the mental smarts. He's going to show him that he's much bigger than him. And it should be a very, very interesting series, man.
Yo, I'm getting excited just talking about it, yo.
The Mavs. Let me get to the Mavs. The Mavs have waves. They don't even run their pick-and-roll offense, which is their staple, that much with Jason Kidd, and that's their starters. So you're going to get a dose of one type of offense. Then you bring Jason Terry in and Barea, and you get another dose of offense. Yo, they have a lot. Yo, the Heat have a lot of points to try and stop because the Mavs are going to score.
Yeah.
They are going to score.
To one of your points, like, about the bench production, I don't know. They're going to be having – LeBron and Wade, especially LeBron, he's going to be playing 40 minutes plus.
Yeah, you know, D. Wade got some suspect cardio.
I was about to say, he seemed to get a little tired at times, but.
He probably tired right now.
LeBron is like an energizer bunny. Something wrong with that dude, man. He's a freak.
Sean Marion don't got no problem stepping up to that challenge, and neither does Deshaun Stevenson, because if y'all remember from Deshaun's Wizard days, him and LeBron got a little beef anyway. They don't like each other.
Yeah, they only like each other.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that if your man Tough Juice would have still been around, this could have made a big difference in the series.
A way big difference.
You know how much better they would be if they had
He was their second leading scorer. People don't realize that he was their second leading scorer and their second best player at the time.
That's why you got to give Dallas props. When he went down, I thought their season was done. Not like
you. I'm gonna take another angle on the Tough Juice opinions because I like Karan a lot, but his nickname is weak, and we have to let people know that Tough Juice is a weak nickname. And then furthermore, he is not a pick and roll player, so you have to wonder would he have fit into that offense. Karan is a ball stopper. He's like a poor man, you just said that's pretty much their backup.
Like you just said, they run two different styles of offenses, so he could have fit in with the one. Like, you know, Dallas is a deep team. Like, they built their team on a low, and they've done a great job of building that team. I mean, I remember going into the Lakers series, and they were talking about the Lakers' size, and I'm like, look at Dallas' size. They got Brendan Haywood, seven foot plus. They got just as much size. You know, I mean, they built a quality team.
I took Jimmy Williams
over Brendan Haywood.
Amongst his other strengths, Karan can catch and shoot. So even when they ran pick and roll offense, he didn't necessarily have to be a part of the actual pick and roll. He could stand out there and wait for the ball and do what he had to do.
Shoot a little bit.
And he also would have been another underrated defender.
Exactly.
D Wade and LeBron. Exactly. Let me ask you a question. Outside of the star players, do you think there are any injuries that could affect the outcome of this series?
Yeah, Udonis Haslam's foot ain't fully healed, and if it is, his conditioning can't possibly be there to run up and down with that.
According to you, he don't matter anyway. according to you, he don't matter.
Well, I mean, the only major one that they keep publicizing that he keeps denying to me is the Dwayne Wade thing. So it seems like everybody's pretty much healthy. I mean, you know, Mike Miller.
Mike Miller can go down any minute, any moment.
Look at
Mike Miller's hands. Have y'all looked at his hands? He's got the carpal tunnel braces on both hands. He can't shoot. He's got broken bones all in through his hands. So you definitely want to watch.
He stole a nice piece of change.
He gives you a little more though. At least you know he's not the average.
He's not a standstill shooter. He's not James Jones. Mike Miller can get to the cup.
All right, didn't say that. Go ahead. Y'all got it. I'll be back.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like Dwayne Wade's not saying he's injured, but let Dallas get up 2-0 and watch how fast he start crying about how he's injured. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? But you know, we shall see. But I'll tell you one thing, man. I got a lot of respect for the way Dallas has built their team, but there's also something to the fact that you haven't seen anything from Mark Cuban. He really believes that the league is against him. That's why he's taking a complete back seat. Like you don't even see him in interviews no more. They barely put the camera on the ball.
He's not even being himself.
Not at all.
He's like you said, he's trying to win this chip. Let them win the chip and watch how much he start running his mouth.
If Mark Cuban wins the chip, he's gonna go to LeBron's lawn and risk the assault charge and the papers. He's just gonna stand on LeBron's yard and pee.
Let me ask you guys a question. I mean, you guys spend time on social media and you get a feel for how people are. Do you think that as a whole the country is rooting for, say, Dallas, or do you think that everybody's on the Miami bandwagon? Which way do you see it in terms of the vibe you're getting from talking to people?
Let me get it real quick.
It's actually hard to gauge it off the people we talk to. Because we talk to a lot of black protectionists, and, you know, the Heat bandwagon is strong in that demographic. But I would think, just from the stuff we've been watching and the polls that other networks have been taking, I pretty much think around the country it's a lot of heat hate, and people probably would rather see Dallas win that. Hey, but hold on one second, y'all, before y'all answer that. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got James calling from Maryland. James, you're in the war room. What's going on, brother?
Yo, what's good, fellas? What's good? At first, I want to say I appreciate the show. Bring a different, of course, talk radio. But I just wanted to say real quick about the keys to each team. I think that the key for Dallas is really on Tyson Chandler and how active he is on the offensive glass and on the defensive end. And then on Heat side, I think it's really on two players. I think it's on Haslam and how well he defends Dirk, and then Bosch, and if he can keep up what he did against the Bulls. So those are my keys to both sides.
Man, good point.
Okay.
All right, Jane, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
That is true, because you remember the Chicago series, how they was getting smacked on the boards in the first game. They got it together. But I didn't even, you know, think about that Tyson Chandler smashing the boards on him, because he's very athletic, and he's like 7'1" himself.
Yes, he is. I got a question for y'all. I got a question. What role do you believe Delonte West and LeBron's mom will play in the series? No, I'm serious.
Oh,
I'm just,
man. I hope she don't do nothing to draw on this series, man, because you don't need LeBron thinking about other things, because we saw how that went down last year. When
Jimmy always embellishes but isn't far off from true, she's only like 3 years older than LeBron, so they listen to the same music, they go to the same clubs, they have the same friends. You know, it could be a problem.
It seems like she always gets in trouble, like when it gets down to the clutch part of the season, like somebody just like take control of her so her son can play his game, man.
Hey, she's a MILF.
Hey, look, real
she's not
quick,
even that good looking, by the way.
Not at all. Not at all.
She's trash. I don't want to disrespect his mom, but it's like, come on, man. I done seen better at the Red Door Bar on Germantown and Haynes. Like she's not that good looking, man.
She's not A, but B. What she do, you know what she hit him with. You know what I mean? I'm LeBron mama. You know what I mean? That's all she got to say.
And my chewy is superior.
Hey, but look, y'all stupid. Real quick, let's get into some predictions. Now, we got TJ and Akil. They're not with us today, but they let us know what their predictions were for the. I was about to say for the fight. I'm used to doing predictions for fights. First, we got one from this bowl.
Prediction? Yes, prediction. Hey.
you got a Rocky quote in there. All right, so Akil, he says the Heat in six, and PJ says the Heat in seven. So Austin, what do you see the series doing?
Man, I fly with the Luftwaffe, the Volksgrenadier. That's German for y'all that don't speak the Deutsch. I would quote a line from my Reservoir Dog song, but I might offend some folks. Give me Dirk, man. Dirk and them peoples.
How many? Run
with more Germans than Adolf.
Concentrate on your camp, like. Whoa. Yeah, I got Dirk and them in six.
In six. All right, Brandon, I know you wrote an article on it earlier and gave everybody your prediction for the series, but for those who haven't read that yet, what do you got?
I like the Heat in six.
Six.
Right. Yeah, Heat
Jimmy?
In six games.
Yo.
Jimmy Slice, where you at with it?
Yo, I just, I say the Heat in seven, because the Heat do have home court, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I take the Heat in seven. I like to say six, but I think it'll go seven games.
Yeah, I would love.
I got the Mavs doing a blitzkrieg.
I would love to see a seven-game series. You know, when you don't have a rooting interest, you just want to see the best brand of basketball that you could possibly see. But I got the Heat in six. I just can't see. I mean, they're going to give a better fight than Chicago. But I just see the athleticism of the Heat just taking over, you know, later in games when it really counts. You know, in the fourth quarter, you got dudes with this kind of athleticism that aren't really tired, you know, let alone Wade, unless he get his cardio stuff straightened out. But, you know, what they try to do, though, they actually try to rest him at periods during the game. So if they need him down the stretch, then he can be D-Wade down the stretch. But I just think they have too much at winning time. You know what I'm saying? And I want to give LeBron his props because, you know, all his Stanleys always think that if you say anything negative about LeBron, if you point out that he missed a shot, then you're a hater. But
oh, well, yeah, I'm a hater then.
He's been playing good down the stretch of games. We're going to see if he can continue that in the finals, but it should be a
really good. I mean, if you want to get very, very, very simple with it, very simple is this. Like, if you look at, like, the four best players in the series, three of them are on one team.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's just that simple. So when it comes down to, like, crunch time, because I do want to give Bosh his credit because I've always disliked Bosh. It has nothing to do with his game. I've always thought that he had game. It's just something about dude. I think he's the best black European princess boyish player in the league.
You think that he's the only WNBA player to be able to make that transition and be successful?
There you go. Chris Bosh, a.k.a. Joanna Man.
Yo,
hey, now,
I got to give LeBron and Wade props from an athleticism standpoint.
I think his mic went out.
Yeah. Awesome. Anyway,
yeah.
His mic ain't clutch. Go ahead though.
His mic choked in the fourth quarter. My favorite player in the series is my old head, Jason Kidd. You know, to me, he's always been one of the best point guards in the league. So, I would love to see him win a title. You know, since he took a Jersey team to the finals twice, where he was actually the best player on the team. So, you know, with a couple years on him and some horses up front and Dirk, if he shows up like he's supposed to show up, then maybe J.K. can get his
Yo,
and
shout out to J.K. We got to give him props, cuz. We got to give him props, cuz. This dude has been balling since we played high school ball, cuz, like, years ago. And, yo,
exactly.
He's still playing at a high level like this dude, cuz.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, he's in the mid-90s he came in the league.
And there is no, I'm sorry, y'all, I was in the war room wagon, and we had some technical difficulties with our signal. I'm back up and at him, y'all. Jason Kidd is still going to give somebody some problems at 6'5 and 215. I mean, he's not going to blow by you, but ain't no point guard on the other side of that roster that can check him. And I would go as far as to say that he may even get D Wade. Huh?
I said you gave him an extra inch, too.
6'5 or 6'4?
6'4.
Yeah. 6'4,
yeah. Okay. I just chalked it up to Austin doing what everybody else do.
Oh, yeah. Toss him an extra 2 inches. Pause.
You like the Augustine Lake refs and all that.
All right, bro. We gotta wrap up. So, you know, everybody, that's tip off.
It's almost that time. The game's starting in a couple minutes. You know what I'm saying? Let me take you out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the war room this evening for our NBA Finals preview show. As usual, we hope you had a great time listening to us talk our ish. And thanks to all the callers and chat room participants, the Facebookers and tweeters, and everybody who waited in to listen to us talk our ish. Tune in on Thursday. We'll be right back talking more NBA Finals. Until then, holla at us.
Yo, shout out to B-Pen.
Feel weak, but when you feel weak, you feel like you want to just give up. can't shut my mouth till the smoke clears out. Am I high? I'ma rip this shit till my bones fall out. Till the roof comes on, till the lights go out, till my legs give out. Can't shut my mouth till the smoke clears out. Am I high? I'ma rip.